You know you're in love when you can't fall asleep because reality is finally better than your dreams. Dr. Seuss.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hello there, and welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. And today on our show, we are diving into float therapy, also known as sensory deprivation therapy. And if you haven't experienced this or even heard of it before, we'll dive into all the details today on our show. And we'll also talk about how you can incorporate essential oils into this fascinating practice that has been scientifically proven to have enormous benefits mentally and physically. We'll dive into all of that and more in a moment, but first let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's recipe comes from Jenna Ritchie, who is on Instagram at jenna.ritchie. That's Ritchie with four E's at the end. And her recipe is called DIY Glass Cleaner. To make the DIY glass cleaner in a glass spray bottle, combine one capful of Thieves Household Cleaner, five drops of either citrus fresh or lemon essential oil, one teaspoon of white vinegar, and three cups of water. That's it. Thank you so much for your recipe, Jenna. We will add this to our DIY dugout. Everyone can check out the DIY dugout on our website at revolutionoilspodcast.com/DIY.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her four-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of the life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Well, I'm here with Max Casa, who is the shamanic sensei. He is an accomplished lifelong martial artist, performance coach, and medicine man who dedicated his life to finding the easiest and most effective recovery therapy. Max discovered float therapy, also known as sensory deprivation, and soon realized that simply lying suspended in a silent, dark, saltwater-filled tank not only healed his body, but simultaneously enhanced his mind and deepened his connection with spirit. Max now aims to spread his wisdom on the benefits of floating, magnesium, minerals, and energy in hopes to help others strengthen and balance their mind, body, and spirit. Max, it's an honor to have you here on the show with us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Pleasure to be here, Samantha. And yeah, look forward to diving in and chat about all things floating and all the things you discussed, essential oils and tying it all together. It'd be good fun.
Yeah, I'm super excited as well because float therapy has been on my radar for a while. It's kind of one of those things I kept hearing about, but I didn't actually get to experience myself until very recently, like a couple weeks ago. I was able to go and do it my first time. So I'm excited to share that experience with everyone. But first, for those that have no idea what we're talking about, what is float therapy?
Yeah, so anyone that is listening that isn't familiar with floating or float therapy or sensory deprivation, really, it's a powerful healing tool that's really totally taken the West Coast and Europe by storm in the past 10 to 20 years. But it's been used ancestrally in many different ways, whether it's hot springs or Dead Sea floats or even the other component of it, which is the sensory deprivation. But really what it involves in the modern day is getting in a big egg-shaped hot tub type tank, usually with a lid over the top, about the size of a small car. And inside that tank is 10 inches of water. But those 10 inches of water are super saturated with over 1,000 pounds of therapeutic grade magnesium salts, or commonly Epsom salts. And the benefits of these magnesium salts or Epsom salts have been well known and well documented for hundreds of years now, but so many healing benefits there. But those 1,000 pounds of salt and just 10 inches of water create this extremely buoyant saltwater solution. And so buoyant or floaty that when you could literally take a bowling ball, put it in the water, and it would easily float to the top like a cork. So when you pop in one of these things, like I'm sure you experienced recently, you lay down in it and it's so buoyant that it just enables effortless floating, which has a lot of benefits to it. But it isn't just the 1,000 pounds of magnesium salts that makes this environment so unique. It's also the fact that the entire tank is totally deprived of all external sensory inputs altogether, which means that you're inside that tank, you're laying there, you're floating effortlessly like a cork, you're de-stressing, you're relaxing. And at the same time, there's no light inside the chamber at all, not even a single photon of light inside the tank. There's no sound inside the tank. There's no smells, There's no movement. There's no speech. There's no taste. And there isn't even a sensation of touch inside the chamber, because that salt water that you're laying in is actually precisely heated and kept at a constant skin temperature, or 94.5 degrees Fahrenheit. So you're laying in this tank and your brain has no external sensory inputs to grasp onto for the first time in its entire life oftentimes. And oftentimes that can lead to profound, powerful, spiritual experiences, and oftentimes life-changing experiences or meditative trances. But lots to dive into there. But in a nutshell, that's what floating is: sensory deprivation. And while you're floating in the 1,000 pounds of magnesium salts.
Yeah. So I did it for the first time, as I mentioned, and I started out doing a sauna. It was in a place that also had a sauna. So I did like a 20-minute sauna, got out of that, and then, you know, it was time, and I was with a friend. And so when I'm with my friends, we chit chat a lot in the sauna. It's really great. And we come out, she's like, "All right, it's time for the float." And I was like, "Oh yeah, you know, how long is it going to be?" And I'm thinking, you know, 20 minutes or something. She's like, "It's an hour." And I was like, "What? An hour by myself doing what now? Nothing? Ooh, man. I don't know about that. I was scared. I don't do nothing very well. And, you know, I'm a people person. I was like, can't my friend come with me, you know? No, that's not the point. You're supposed to do it yourself. So I went in thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be miserable. There's no way I'm going to last an hour. This is going to feel like an eternity. You know, I was a little bit pessimistic going in. And I'll just say the hour flew by. I was so just zenned out. I mean, it took a while to get there, but not as long as I thought it would take to just really just melt into it, I guess is the best way I could put it. And, you know, when the hour was done, I was like, oh my goodness, that was an hour? And I came out and I felt like a baby. I just like, I could hardly function in a good way. You know, I just felt like a puddle and felt safe and cozy. And then that night I slept better than I have ever slept in my life. I think I fell asleep around like 8 p.m. and slept like 12 hours straight. It was amazing. So I can attest, like going in very skeptical, very like, I'm going to hate this. I was very pleasantly surprised. I really enjoyed my experience. So that's my experience. Why don't you share a little bit about your experiences with floating and what's come out of that for you?
When you went to float, what was the style of the tank? Just so people can visualize there. Was it more coffin-esque? Some of them are more roomy, like a small room or a egg-shaped pod, or what'd you have going
on? I was with my friend, and they have two rooms. One of them is the more, I think they called it the luxury room or something, that is more like a larger room with kind of a tall ceiling. And I think there's even like twinkle lights that you can put on at the top if you want. Yep. And I was going to do that one. But the other room was more of the kind of coffin-esque, egg-shaped, smaller capsule. It kind of looked like a capsule you would see on like a sci-fi movie that mm-hmm. like people getting woken up on a spaceship from like cryo sleep, you know?
Yeah.
Like, time to get out. And so that was the other option. But my friend she is more claustrophobic inclined than I am. So I offered to switch and take the smaller one, which was totally fine. My only complaint was I'm a little bit taller. I'm 5'8" and I couldn't totally free float without like hitting the edge sometimes. And those were the only moments that I was like, ooh, it would have been nice to be in a slightly larger tank, just so I'm not like hitting the edge as often.
Yeah, no, I hear that.
But I could appreciate, you know, not it was more womb-like, I'd say, which mm-hmm. I could appreciate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, I hear that about bumping into the sides. Sometimes that can pull you out temporarily. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my experience, like, wide variety of different experiences. I had originally gotten into it as a lifelong martial artist, and I was looking for a way to just accelerate my recovery as I was leading up to a martial arts competition in my mid-teens. And I tried everything from Western world technologies to Eastern medicines and South American brews and just about everything in between. So when I stumbled upon floating, it was a cool mix and how it really linked together the physical and mental recovery with the spiritual aspect as well, which is something that a deeper part of me was definitely craving. And it helped accelerate my connection and deepen my connection to that part of me, which is really, really beautiful. But and really what intrigued me originally, though, wasn't the deepened spiritual states, because I wasn't fully aware of them in my mid-teens, but was a lot of the benefits of floating. So for people that may not be familiar with, maybe they're wondering, why would someone want to go in there? Is it just to meditate? Is it for silence? And there's lots of benefits there, but really the three main pillars of benefits are all the benefits you're getting from the zero gravity, right? Because laying in that tank, like you saw, you're floating, it's super buoyant. It's totally unlike laying on a bed or a mattress at the end of the night where there's thousands of springs and pain points cutting off your microcirculation, right? Because when you're in a true zero gravity environment, like the float tank, there's none of that. There's no constriction at all. So your capillaries can totally vasodilate and allows for this huge increase in surge of things like blood flow and oxygen flow and microcirculation to virtually every part of the body, which is incredibly healing for thousands of ailments. And then you're also getting all the benefits of the sensory deprivation and the silent darkness. And what's so powerful about that is now so much of your consciousness and your awareness isn't being ripped to the external world. Now we can start to take our power back and revitalize our energies there. And then the third main pillar of benefits here, which will transition into some other things potentially, but is the fact that while you're laying in those magnesium salts, your body is actually soaking up transdermally through the skin magnesium ions and the other essential minerals that we pack our solution with transdermally through the skin, which is incredibly healing for thousands of ailments as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so those
are some of those other nutrients. So you had mentioned the magnesium and the Epsom salt. Do float spas typically put other elements in there too?
Yeah, so it's interesting because that's kind of a niche that I've been playing in for a while now, is just encouraging float spas like the one that you went to, or float tank owners, to optimize their float tank solution, right? So just to maximize the healing of that. So a lot of them just fill it with straight up Epsom salts right now. It's probable that the float tank you went in just used Epsom salts, which is great. And there's many benefits to that. And there's magnesium in the Epsom salts, because the Epsom salts are magnesium sulfate. So there is a lot of magnesium in there, but there are other magnesium salts that we use and that we provide, which are based in, instead of Epsom salts, it's magnesium chloride as the base. And this may be interesting too. I don't know if, I know it's a part of my routine where I make a magnesium oil lotion. And I mix it with some essential oils in there, particularly I love the lavender and frankincense. And I'll spray it on as a topical lotion. I don't know. Have you ever messed around with the magnesium oil at all?
A little bit, especially in my pregnancy. I remember it is recommended for that. I struggled with the itchiness of it. I don't know if you hear that a lot.
I do. Yeah, it can be itchy. I guess for the magnesium oil per se, or floats or baths, it doesn't matter. Epsom salts are great, but once I learned that Epsom salts have a sneaky cousin called magnesium chloride, which have over 230% more magnesium than Epsom salts, we started to make those switch in our baths in our foot soaks, and ultimately in the float tank solution as well, swapping the magnesium sulfate or the Epsom salt for the magnesium chloride, which again has nearly 2.5 times more mag. So now you're in the float and you have way more magnesium available to the body. Your body's soaking up a lot more magnesium because the magnesium's chloride is a lot more bioavailable transdermally through the skin. As a result, if you were to float in something like that, it's a lot more relaxing.
Interesting. I'm really curious what they used. I mean, I slept like a baby that night, so I'm wondering if, you know, which one it was. Is magnesium chloride something readily available for – one of my questions I'm kind of trying to get to is, like, can people kind of make their own type of float spa in their bathtub, you know, if they can just put a bunch of Epsom salts in and kind of get a little taste of it?
I hear. I've been trying. We can get aspects of it, but it's tough. I've yet to see a bathtub that I can spread out.
You can totally relax and free float. Yeah.
You know, in order to fill it with that much Epsom salts to be able to float, I think would overflow the bathtub a few times over. But the sensory deprivation side is a little tricky, but we can make some modifications.
The float part, the sensory deprivation part, a little tricky, but at least the kind of magnesium nutrient intake might be there.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And that's something that's a big part. So if someone, maybe they don't have access to a float spa, or a float tank, then absolutely one of the things that we would like to see more people incorporating is not even just more magnesium, but in particular more transdermal magnesium. Because what we see is with oral magnesium supplementation, oftentimes it takes 9 to 12 months to impact our red blood cell magnesium markers, which is the most accurate magnesium blood marker that's commonly used. But what we see with transdermal magnesium, or when we're soaking in it, whether it's in a bath, whether it's a foot soak, which I'm huge on, whether it's in a float, whether it's the topical lotions, the magnesium sprays or oils or anything like that, those are great ways because the magnesium ions are absorbed directly through the hair follicles of the skin. It's not even the skin, it's the hair follicles. Magnesium ions just travel directly alongside the hair follicle and are absorbed directly into the bloodstream immediately. Right away, rather than having to wait months to really see that impact, you know.
Interesting. And where do you buy bulk magnesium chloride?
So if anyone's interested, we do offer our magnesium chloride vitality salts blend. It has a lot of stuff in there, like the magnesium chloride, the purest form, with the cofactors of magnesium blended in there as well, to help maximize the absorption of the magnesium and how much your body can actually utilize, and all sorts of stuff in there. So yeah, I'm sure we can throw the link in here somewhere for the vitality.
Yeah, we'll put it down below, but also for people just listening, your website is maxvitality.co, not .com, .co.
This is true. This is true. Yeah. And I was going to say, I was just going to add in, just to tie with, the experience of the essential oils. It's interesting. The float industry has come a long way since the 60s when it really first began. But there's been some interesting research, and I've had some experiences as well with, again, we're in sensory deprivation. So the idea is to cut out a lot of the sensory inputs to the brain and minimize those. But there is this realm of active floats versus passive floats, where passive floats, you may go into the tank and you may just sit there or lie down and meditate and just passively have your float experience. And then there's this realm of active floating where maybe people are leveraging different frequencies during their float. Maybe they're using different frequencies of light during their float. Maybe they're using essential oils, which is actually common. If you go into a float center, oftentimes they have different essential oils you can dab on, because the experience of those plant essences in sensory deprivation, when it's just your inner being and the essence of that plant oil, it can be a really intimate and extra powerful experience and connection there. So I'll plant that mm-hmm. seed.
Yeah. Well, that was a thought that I had going into the float spa for the first time. I was like, oh, should I, bring my essential oils like I normally do? And then I was like, well, I mean, isn't the point sensory deprivation? So wouldn't I be kind of, going against that thought? So I opted not to do that. So what are your thoughts on that sort of essential oil aromatherapy if you are trying to experience that sensory deprivation, pros and cons?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I feel for beginners, I feel, again, really no right or wrong way to do it. But if someone's intention is to go in and connect with the silent darkness and that medicine of the true sensory deprivation, then absolutely go ahead and do that and soak it up and learn that experience. But with that said, the essential oils can be a powerful piece there right. as well. So
I would imagine, especially if you're kind of going for the spiritual connection or more meditative, cognitive experience of, I imagine things like frankincense or Palo Santo or, maybe even some helichrysum, like really healing kind of experience. Like what have you tried and what have your experiences been?
Yeah, the frankincense. I love all the ones you just mentioned, but the frankincense has been calling me. So, yeah, I guess, like we said, again, everyone's experience is unique with each essential oil per se. I know we tend to see different patterns, but what I'm interested in with any of the things, whether it's sound, whether it's light, whether it's essential oils during a float, or out of the float, but how can I work with this essence, right? I put some of the essential oil on my upper lip pre-float and I go in there. How is that altering my experience? I guess what I'm personally exploring is how can I kind of piggyback on the essence of frankincense to help bring me to this state and this inner place of a form of union with the one. And that's my personal process. But for me, I'm working with these plant essences, something like frankincense, and riding that essence into my heart and loving it and enjoying it and falling into that as deeply as I possibly can. You can use whatever you like, whatever essential oil you feel like riding and going into it as deep as you can.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about the sensory deprivation where you're, and then you choose like one sense, right? Mm-hmm, let's focus on this one sense of inhaling, smelling this aroma, and what an interesting way to experiment to see how you react to a scent, And I like what you said, like falling into it. That's a really great kind of imagery there of falling into a scent. Now, on a practical level, you would not want to go into someone's business that runs a float spa and start adding essential oils into their water, right? Because they might get kind of mad about that.
They may, depending on the scent. But I'm just playing. Yeah, what's interesting, I wanted to bring this up. The oils of the essential oils, if it is an oil-based essential oil, obviously don't mix too well with the saltwater solution. So they'll be floating up on the top and maybe a little tricky to filter out there. And again, like we said, we would also be impacting fellow floaters' experiences there. And maybe they were opting for something more of the sensory deprivation. So what's interesting is they wanted to explore back in the 80s. There were some researchers that wanted to explore introducing aromatherapy into the sensory deprivation in one of their studies. And the way they went about it, which is actually kind of funny, they were using a nasal cannula, which is like one of the things you'll see in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You know,
like a gas mask.
Yeah, basically, right? It has the tubes and the two little tubes that go up the nose, and they were flooding in different aromas to see how that impacted their experience in the sensory deprivation, which is pretty interesting. That was kind of their way of getting around the oils in the tank type thing. And then but what I have more experience with isn't nasal cannulas in my floats. it's been more, there's actually a cool product. It's called Float Sense. No affiliation there or anything, but it looks just like a chapstick that is infused with essential oils. And I'm sure it has a nice, carrier, base, some sort of lard. But yeah. And then you just put a small amount. Cause again, the essential oils in the sensory deprivation, when there's nothing, there's no other distractions and all of your consciousness is just on that plant essence, it's a very, very powerful experience. Consciousness altering experience, because that's the only input there, you know? So you go fully into that essence. So I guess you just take a little bit of that chapstick, just put a couple dabs on your lip, or around your face somewhere, even maybe sometimes towards the chin, because it's really that strong. And
and when you float, you typically keep your face dry, like you're floating, and your eyes typically don't get wet, or that totally. Front of your face. So that would work. I would also think just like taping a cotton ball on the roof with some essential oil on it would work. But
all right, I like your style.
Yeah, keep it classy.
That's it. I think that's the call.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned some studies that have been done on float spas, and you've already briefly kind of talked about the benefits of floating, the benefits of magnesium and whatnot. But are there any interesting facts or kind of alarming statistics that you've come across in the studies that you feel like most people don't know about when it comes to this?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's many places we could take it in terms of benefits that the studies are showing in terms of visualization, whether basketball teams are now going in and just visualizing themselves taking free throws and they're totally outperforming the rest of the basketball team that was all throughout the week on the actual court taking free throws for hours on end. So a lot of powerful visualization studies. Hypnosis studies, because hypnosis has shown to be over 5 times more effective when it's done in the sensory deprivation, because there's no external distractions at all. So a lot of powerful work being done on hypnosis. Zero gravity, obviously there's many benefits there. The magnesium that's being absorbed through the skin, and how magnesium is essential for over 42% of our electric body and energetic body is totally run and dependent on magnesium in particular.
Wow.
So that's really important. But yeah, so a lot of different sciencey things, but I feel for me, one that I feel called to share is just the fact that every single second of the day, we're being bombarded and hit with our nervous system, and our brain is, it's constantly having to process and dissect over 10 to 50 million bits of sensory information every single second of the day, right? Again, that's 10 to 50 million bits of information, all these different bits of information, whether it's light or sound or tactile sensations or mapping out the external world. There's so much that we're constantly being pressed with and stressed with, really, because those can also be immense stressors to our nervous system. You know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot to do. So when I'm in the float tank or outside the float tank, even just in meditation as well, the beginning of the day, just bringing my mind to this place of one-pointedness where we can disconnect from the monkey mind that's constantly being pulled in all these different areas and if I don't do a practice like this and I'm just going throughout the day, my mind is constantly being ripped. I'm at the mercy of my mind. I'm getting thrashed around all day long, you know? So if, whether it's in the float tank, whether I'm sitting meditating, whether I use some essential oils, whether I'm in a bath, whatever it is, but I'm sitting there and just bringing my mind to this place of one-pointedness, and what that could look like is not stopping my mind altogether, because the mind is doing its thing. You know, I'm not going to try to control that too much. That will lead to a lot of angst and stress. All we're looking to do is just give our mind, or feed our mind, one primary predominant thought that we ask our mind to just stay on and keep its awareness on. You know, so maybe we sit here in meditation or in the float tank, and I just give my mind, every time I breathe in, I'm just going to say, my mind just says, breathing in. And when I breathe out, it just says, breathing out. And then breathing in. And while I'm there, if my mind starts to drift elsewhere, just letting it go, bringing it right back to that one single thought, and keeping my mind as one-pointed as possible. And I know it may have seemed a little side note-y, tangent-y, but I just feel passionately that that's a powerful practice, whether it's done in the float tank or out of the float tank. Yeah, I just wanted to share.
Yeah. Well, Max, this has been so interesting, all of it. I have one last question for you before we wrap up, and that is, who do you feel like needs to float? You know, I feel like there's a lot of listeners and they might think, oh, that's a hipster thing, or that's for people who, I don't know, meditate, or, you know, there's a lot of assumptions that go into who floats. But in your opinion, you know, who can really benefit the most from this?
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, if one, I want to say everyone, but yeah, really, if you're someone that maybe is feeling stressed, is feeling angsty, is feeling ungrounded or uncentered, or maybe disconnected from that part of you deep inside. If you're struggling maybe to sleep at night, because I know you'd mentioned, and a lot of people do, just how much deeper you're able to sleep at the end of the night, because your stress levels are so much lower, and because you just got this huge hit and bump of magnesium right into your bloodstream. So yeah, really, if anyone's battling any of these health conditions, anything related to magnesium deficiency, which there are many, there are hundreds of thousands of conditions related to that as well. So any of those, fibromyalgia, different tics, or their muscle twitches, anything like that, heart health, all that stuff. So there's a wider range here, but really ultimately anyone that's looking to connect with their inner being, maybe it's someone that's looking to maximize the recovery of their physical health, or if they're looking to just learn about themselves and the mechanics of their mind a little bit deeper. I feel floating it's a cool form of therapy, because there's a lot to offer a wide variety of different people. So yeah, I definitely recommend anyone listen to this. It's a great place to start. I would highly recommend giving it a shot, just putting all expectations or assumptions to the side, going in, feeling the experience for yourself, seeing what the silent darkness is all about, experience what it's like to just go in and experience more or less nothing, and just watch and learn how your being reacts to that nothingness. You know, is it uncomfortable? Cool. You know, why? Is there something we're running from? You know, for example, we can go deep into that. But, and then if you do try it, we just recommend three floats. And I always recommend three floats in a short period of time, ideally within that first month, because each time, maybe the first time you go into float, it takes you the first 40 minutes to really relax and surrender into the environment. And then you get like the last 20 minutes of relaxation, you know. But the second time you go in, now maybe you drop in and you trust the environment more, and you can relax in 15, 20 minutes. Then the third time you're able to get in there and kind of click in and soak up more of the benefits that floating has to offer.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So, Max, before we wrap up and say goodbye, we always like to ask our guests a couple closing questions. And the first is, what's one or two self-care practices you try to do every day to stay healthy?
Love it. One is definitely float.
Every day?
If anyone guessed it. I do try to float every day. The days that I can't float, I try not to get too bummed about it, but I'll supplement in there because, again, if I have time to bath, I'll get in for a float, you know what I mean? But the foot soaks are actually a really great supplement there, because the foot soaks, we're still getting a lot of the benefits of the transdermal magnesium. We're still mixing in the self-love. Usually I do it in a nice, quiet, soothing place, and I get my meditation on, and we can throw some essential oils in there or stick cotton balls all over the roof, whatever we're feeling. but it's cool because I load it with hot water, as hot as I can handle. Opens up the pores more. And the bottom of your feet are interesting because the largest pores in your entire body are on the bottom of your feet. And the nerve ending to every major organ in the body, which is why they're such an essential piece of the Chinese medical system. So you just take a couple tablespoons of something like the Vitality salts, the magnesium chloride with the cofactors, put it in there, put your feet in 15, 20 minutes and soak it up. So I feel that's a really cool practice as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, finally, Max, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
It's an interesting question. I'm pretty deep into like alternative health, I guess.
Anyway. Eat more alternative.
Right. So I guess there's a lot of things I see as oftentimes doing more harm than good for people. One that I feel called to share today, as many, we can go into the spiritual or the physical, but I'll share a physical because I know we went into the spiritual a little bit. A lot of people hear that salt is bad. A lot of people hear, other people hear that salt is good. And there's a lot of confusion around salt, how much they should be consuming, what variety to be consuming. And now we're talking about like oral, like table salt type stuff, you know. We'll just put the seed out there. A lot of people are using like pink Himalayan. Some people are using like white sodium chloride, like you find at a restaurant. Some people are using more the gray Celtic sea salt. Salt can be very great. Salt is a very powerful supplement, and it's essential. You know, there's a part of our biology and our bodies that just crave the essence of salt because we're programmed to know that that is the most nutrient-dense, one of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet or substances on Earth. That's why if you put a salt brick out by a lake, there will be, for example, if you go in Idaho and you were hunting, you just put a giant salt brick out by the lake and you'd have 5 to 10 elk and moose licking the thing for 6 to 8 hours a day every day because they just get so attracted. Their brains are so wired for that nutrient density, and salt is very nutrient and mineral rich. And that's what we're going for, the minerals. The issue is with the pink Himalayan and the Celtic, there are a lot of different trace minerals in there, But what we see is the color there, the pink and the pink Himalayan and the gray and the Celtic are both the heavy metal iron, which again, there's a lot of misinformation about iron, but that iron is very rusty and oxidizes when it's in your body and can cause a lot of dis-ease and disharmony. So we're looking for a salt. We're looking for a white salt, and the most nutrient dense, mineral rich salt on the planet that's also happens to be white is Icelandic sea salt. Icelandic sea salt that has over 3 times more magnesium than even Celtic salt, just second best, and over 3 times more potassium. So if we just take a little bit of that that Icelandic sea salt rather, to use it to mineralize our water, just a small crystal of it before we drink our water, it will help with our hydration, it will help with our mineral levels, and the minerals are the backbone of our enzymes, our biochemicals, our hormones, and really our biology. So just use that Icelandic sea salt. It's very powerful. A lot of minerals in there, over 84 trace minerals. And as we start to top off our trace mineral levels, we have more energy. Our body can perform better. We feel better. And yeah, just get rid of the other salt and let's get some Icelandic sea salt and load it up.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned putting a couple of drops in your water, but would you also recommend, you know, cooking with it, putting it on your food, just completely replace like the other types of salt?
100%. With that. Yeah. Just a full spectrum, dense, rich salt. Sodium chloride is literally just sodium and chloride. a salt right. like this has over 84 minerals in an ideal ratio for the body. And we can just use that on top of everything.
And I would assume, obviously, it does not have iodine in it, which kind of brings up that second question for people who are like, but iodine, we all need it. You know, why else would the government put iodine in all of the salt? You know, this it's an interesting story, actually, if you want to kind of hear the whole story about how iodine was added into salt and how that became kind of a federal level institution program. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History podcast has a whole episode about it. I think it's in season 4. I think he does a deep dive on that. That's really interesting. You know, it's in a nutshell, it's basically to prevent goiters in landlocked towns when that was a big thing. But so, yeah, what's your thoughts on iodine? And if it's not in your salt, you know, do we need to get it from somewhere else?
Yeah, it's there's a few great sources for it. Yeah, so I guess, I would love to hear just super quickly the rough summary of what he speaks of in that podcast. I'm definitely going to give it a listen.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing he doesn't talk about in the podcast, which I find frustrating, is the health side of, you know, what are the potential cons of that form of iodine being in all the salt. And he doesn't really talk about, you know, he's definitely not like a health guy, crunchy guy. Like he loves Taco Bell, I'll just say, you know. And so the podcast doesn't really go over that. It really focuses more just on the history of, you know, I think it was in like the 1920s that goiters were a huge problem. You'd like go to certain towns and, you know, nearly half of the population would have these huge goiters on their necks. And scientists were like, you know, why is this happening to some populations and not in others? And they discovered it was basically landlocked towns that did not have iodine naturally in a lot of the food sources mm-hmm. and the foods that were being grown. And so they decided, I can't remember exactly who and how it came about, but you know, scientific studies were done, and they ended up putting iodine in all of the salt. They decided that was the most accessible, cheapest, most universal thing that pretty much all people consumed. So let's and it absorbed iodine really easily. So, and I'm sure there's a similar story there to how like they decided folic acid needed to be put into all of our rice, you know, like yep. these interesting institutional level decisions that I find super fascinating that definitely have their huge pros, right? I mean, they pretty much like fix the goiter problem. You don't go around and see populations ridden with goiters anymore. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really talk about like the cons of any of that either, as far as like the type of salt people are eating and the what they're missing from other natural salts and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, these salts are super natural. They will have trace amounts, you know, but it's nature's ratio of iodine to the other minerals.
Yeah.
And I will say too,
if you eat like a meal, if you eat out like once a week or mm-hmm. once a month, even probably, and you're eating salt from like any sort of restaurant mm-hmm. or takeout, you're probably getting your like all the iodine you need right there right. in that one eat out session. Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Max. This has been such an interesting conversation. And again, I hope it really encourages some people to go try out float spas and incorporate some essential oils. Maybe not your first time. You know, I think maybe people should experience the true deprivation for at least their first time. But after that, start experimenting with your oils. Bring in your favorites, maybe bring in your not favorites, right? And really meditate on that. But just make sure you're following rules if you're going into a business that, you know, doesn't want you using scents. Got to be respectful of that. Well, thank you so much, Max, for your time. And for those that want to reach out to you, your website, maxvitality.co, is a good place to go. Anywhere else you want to send people?
Yeah, I mean, feel free to check us out on Instagram too. We try to keep it fun just keep updated on what we're up to. Our path, physical, mental, spiritual, all that jazz. At my personal is at Max Casa, MAXXCASA. And we also have the business side of things with the float tanks and the bath salts. And we actually have an all-in-one mineral stick, one-a-day mineral stick, mineral optimization stick that we're going to be releasing within the next month or so. So we'll have to get you some of those, get you stocked up. Once those
drop.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
And it has all the Icelandic salt and the ideal ratio of a bunch of other minerals in there as well. So we're really excited for that. But yeah, you can keep updated on Instagram again at max_vitality.co. Next float, I'm going to bring a couple handfuls of cotton. And some electrical.
Just make sure
tape.
You bring a tape that'll stick to the kind of wet walls, right?
I know, right? Yeah, no glue. Be inconsiderate.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Max. It's been a pleasure having you with us here on the Essential Oil Revolution. We appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, Sam. And thank you so much, my friend. Keep inspiring.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you here next week with a brand new episode on the Essential Oil Revolution. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.